Isaiah chapter 21, verse 1. The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. Verse 7. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken to the ground. So compared to where we talked about the Assyrian carrying the Egyptians away and the prophecies of the Assyrian, this is talking of the fall of Babylon to the Medes and Persians. And as far as, you know, the Media, it refers to the Medes or Media, I believe, the Medes and Persians, and also Elam was another one of the sort of nations or areas that was part of that kingdom, the Elamites. They were in there with the Medes and the Persians. So let's analyze the individual verses to whatever degree it seems appropriate. Again, we have another burden here, the fifth of the seven burdens in Isaiah. The burden of the desert of the sea. Now, the desert of the sea probably refers to the waters of the Euphrates, meaning that the Euphrates, again, the Tigris and Euphrates River were part of something called the Fertile Crescent, because there was a fertile valley near the rivers. But outside of that, we're talking about a desert. And what comes out of the desert? Well, to the west, you have the highlands of Persia and Media, and of course, I'm not familiar with all the geography. But it is probable that it's referring to there or to those zones, the desert around the Euphrates. So as whirlwinds in the south, to the south we have whirlwinds, storms. As they would sweep out of the desert, so it cometh. What this burden, the burden of the desert of the sea, what he's talking about, which is the Medes and the Persians, or the Medes and the Elamites. At least that's the portion that's being revealed now in Isaiah. A grievous vision, fearful. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Treachery and spoil. You know, how it ever is with men in the realm of politics and in the realm of their wars. You know, in ancient times, also, very especially, you know, the Babylonians, if you know how they fell, their city was very well defended. And I believe the way that the city eventually fell was by the water gate, the water being let out and allowing the army to come in through the dry riverbed. I believe. Then you can check me on that. That could be wrong. But I do think there was some treachery involved. But, it, you know, it is written in the book of Daniel about the handwriting on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Numbered, weighed, and wanting. And they were all feasting and drunk, and they were in the very act of drinking out of the holy vessels from the temple of God when their city was overthrown. All the sighing thereof I have made to cease. You know, every kingdom, and especially in the ancient world, due to the barbaric nature, really, of the way governments ran and the nature of men taking power over men and attempting to exert influence and power over people, it is always oppressive. And with every kingdom, there is grief caused. You know, Babylon had its enemies. They caused a lot of suffering in their subject nations. They caused a lot of sighing. All the sighing that Babylon brought about, all the troubles they brought on other people, were coming to an end. Therefore my loins are filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. This should be a familiar theme, because the Lord Jesus also talked about it in terms of the end of the world, as the travail comes upon a woman with child. That the pains of something new coming about, like a new age being born, or a new kingdom overcoming an old, is like the travail of a woman. Meaning, these events are very destructive and painful. You know, you live through these upheavals, civil wars, or invading armies from outside. They are troublesome times. The peaceful times where people plant crops, raise families, and otherwise exist in peace and harmony are disrupted. Much as life is disrupted when a new child is born. But very often, in the end, something better comes about. Even if there's a lot of suffering to bring it. And he's saying he was filled with pain. Like as a woman in travail. As at seeing the vision of the overthrow of Babylon and the rise of Persia. My heart panted. Or vacillated, fluttered, like a palpitating heart. You know, my heart rate was racing, might be a way of thinking of it. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure had he turned into fear unto me. You know, taking your ease, going to sleep pleasurably, suddenly woken in the night. You know, it says in the New Testament, as a thief in the night. What does it say also? You know, they ate and drank, they married and gave in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Men on the earth, they go about their business, they think all is well. And all the while, God's plans, the wheels are turning, and change is coming. That which has been is going to be overthrown. All the prayers against the system that has oppressed so many become answered. But it's answered through pain and through suffering. And that's the way. And the end of this age will also be brought about through pain and suffering. And it will bear something much more glorious, something much more amazing, a kingdom that will last 1,000 years, with Christ as king and his elect as his servants and regents. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. You know, there's an interesting, contrast. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat and drink, arise and anoint the shield. You know, there's a prepare for battle, and let's sit down and eat. And I wonder if that isn't some sort of contrast between, you got the Babylonians on one side eating and drinking and feasting. On the other hand, you have the Medes getting ready for battle. The Babylonians should have been watching, but instead they were drunken. They should have been ready. They should have had their shields anointed. And he's saying, go set a watchman and let him declare what he sees. And he sets a chariot and a couple of horsemen, and a chariot of asses, a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. This is what the watchman saw. Whether this is some sort of vision that God has given Isaiah, that's why I tend to interpret this. You know, set a watchman and let him tell you what he sees. And he sees a chariot of camels and a chariot of asses. I have no idea what that signifies. And he's listening, though. He sees these coming. He's listening for what they're going to say. Because in the night, you imagine you're standing watch over your ancient city. You're watching out into the darkness. And you see a chariot of asses, a chariot of camels. So the horsemen are coming. And so the watchman cries, a lion, or perhaps as a lion, my lord, I stand alert and watching. It's like a metaphor. A lion I stand. I stand a lion continually upon the watchtower, I suppose. Other than that, I have nothing for you, unless perhaps that is a translation error, a copy error, and maybe there was supposed to be another word at that place that is now not known. In the daytime, and I am sitting my ward whole nights, so he's obviously some sort of visionary watchman, because no watchman can stand in the watchtower day and night, literally, without some sort of break. This watchman continually watches, and he's watching, and here comes a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. Actually, the chariots, I was just reading in my notes, this may refer to a troop of horsemen in pairs. Like, the chariot might mean a troop, okay? A troop of asses, a troop of camels, and horsemen in pairs together. But whatever, he sees these coming. And really, whatever that all signifies doesn't matter. Because in the end, he gives us the message, Babylon is fallen. That's what they're telling. They're coming from the fall of Babylon. These are, the message is coming, Babylon has fallen. And this should be very familiar from the book of Revelation chapter 18. Babylon has fallen, that great city. For she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. A different Babylon, no doubt, but a very similar prophecy. The graven images of her gods he hath broken to the ground. And it is parallel. Her fornication. The fornication of Babylon in Revelation is more metaphorical in that the fornication is actually her worshiping another god. She is the great whore who does not wait for Christ, who is the returning espoused husband, but rather, before her assigned husband arrives, she runs off with another man. That's why it's fornication and not adultery. She fornicates with another god. She does not wait for Christ. Verse 10. Verse 10, O my threshing, and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. Threshing is a process by which you would take whole stalks of grain and kind of beat out the good. And then you would use a fan and a fork. You would throw it up and either let the wind, or you could use an actual fan. Like someone could take a fork. You kind of take the grain and you put it on a floor, someplace nice and hard, and you beat it out with sticks or some other, you know, hard implement, and you shake out all the grain, and then you would take a fork or something similar and lift it and throw it into the air, and then the wind or some sort of fanning action would cause the lighter chaff to blow away and the heavier grains would fall down. And by this process, you would eventually be left with mostly grains on the ground and the chaff would blow away. And God often likens his people to his threshing because, in a sense, they're suffering punishment. The nation as a whole is suffering and being punished and being oppressed. But the thing is, you know, the oppression starts off because of the sins that Israel commits. And therefore, the children end up suffering the consequences very often. They're born into captivity. But after a certain amount of time, God looks on their suffering and wants to relieve it. So he takes them out of captivity and returns them to their land. And so when, you know, Isaiah talks about the threshing, the corn of my floor, he's talking about, you know, the oppressed people of God. Oh, my threshing, the corn of my floor. I'm telling you what God has said. Babylon shall fall. Verse 11, the burden of Duma. Duma is short, I believe, for Edomia. It's an abbreviated form. It refers to Edom, the land of the Edomites being the descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. who were also in the land nearby Israel. I recently talked about Esau in the book of Romans, but he was the brother of Jacob, who despised his birthright. And Jacob fled from him, and when he returned, though, Edom was fine about receiving Jacob, because in the end he discovered he didn't really care all that much about the birthright. He cared about the things of this world. And the nation of Edom was not a very solid ally of Israel, though the Israelites were under commandment not to oppress them because they were their brother. They were, you know, to be regarded as kinsmen, distant, obviously. They were the descendants of Edom. He calleth me out of Seir. Mount Seir is the inheritance of Esau, or Edom. That was the, you know, that city is often given, like we would say, out of Washington, you know, for our country. Washington, watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? See, out of the, this is the burden of Edom. And he's calling from Seir, Isaiah, what about the night? What's coming? What is coming in the night, prophet? He calls. The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. If you want to know, come back. I say this to people very often. I'm like, if you have more questions, ask away. Here's your answer. If your answer is not sufficient, ask again. And I hope the answers are sufficient, and that's why I so very infrequently get a second question. Maybe I have done a good job answering. I don't know. But if I haven't, you are free to return. If you care so much, ask again. Now, this is a very important point. When you are given an opportunity to ask again, given an opportunity to, you know, to seek God again, if you have any questions, ask again. Because, you know, those opportunities, I mean, if you have them, you have them. What more do you want? The morning comes and also the night. What about the night? Well, the morning comes and also the night. If you want to know more, ask. Come. Again, what's the cryptic message? I think the message is just like I said. It's basically saying, if you really want to know, ask a more specific question. If you really want to inquire of the prophets, ask the prophets. Come again. The prophet gives his cryptic answer. But if you really want to know more, you're going to have to come again. Sometimes I don't understand the question, you know? What of the night? You know, oh, what about the dinosaurs? What about this? What about that? Well, what about it? Ask me a little more specifically, what do you want to know? And I don't think there's a lot more to this than that. Ask. You know, like Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. This is a precursor of that. Come, return. Okay, you asked a question. If you want to know more, you got to ask more. You got to ask a more specific question. What of the night? Well, morning follows night. Is that good enough for you? Will that make you go away? Are you satisfied with that? If so, but if not, verse 13, the final burden. The burden upon Arabia. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim? Dedan, those would be descendants of Abraham by Keturah. Dedan, the son of Midian. The inhabitants of the land of Timah, verse 14, the inhabitants of the land of Timah brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail, and the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken it. And Kedar, again, was another descendant of Abraham through Ishmael by Hagar. So these are, you know, often considered to be the Arabian people. They descended from Abraham through Ishmael and through his other children. A lot of the peoples of the Middle East are, if not wholly descended from those people, definitely related and became part of those groups. Because the descendants of Abraham had a way of developing into nations, whether they ended up becoming the leaders. For example, even in the days of Jacob, when they sold Joseph, they sold him to Ishmaelites. The vision in verse 13 and 14 is of people, again, fleeing from violence and from trouble. They're thirsty, they're hungry. When they say they prevented him that fled, they prevented with their bread him that fled. Prevented means to anticipate or to meet. We're saying as all these lands are falling, and at different times, some of the burden of the desert of the sea could be vast, you know, a bit future from the time of Isaiah. Whereas these sound much more present. This might relate back to the time of the Assyrian. Now, a lot of these prophecies of Isaiah are gathered together in the book. And some prophecies are of events which were quite a bit future to him, and they were given at a certain time. And others are of events which are very much part of his present day. So, anyways, we have here the diminishing of Kedar, these different groups which had a relationship to Israel through their descent from Abraham, but they were basically neighboring nations which are falling under the influence and oppression of Assyria and then Babylon, and ultimately the Medes and Persians who will conquer that entire part of the world. So, we can leave that there. The children of Kedar will be diminished. For the Lord of Israel has spoken it.